It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from an impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must-be-a-Tuesday, baby. But it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left.
Ooh, I want to say let's go in Hebrew, but this is a tough one. Bo Nelech?
As long as you say somewhere, you're probably good.
I think I nailed it. Bo Nelech. Yeah, all right, I'm done. Let's go!
Yeah, that's what the Israelis say when they commit genocide.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let's just go right back to sports, please.
That's where we started.
Come on!
Well, here we are. This is what we do. I'd like to give a shout-out to those primetime boys for saying that I am not a bro. I think there's some few things in my life that I fear more than being a bro. Some people embrace it.
What's wrong with being a bro?
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a bro. I am just not
mostly.
One.
Mostly.
I never was. I was a theater kid who got made fun of by all my theater friends because I wanted to go to basketball games in college and chase girls at the bar. And then I got made fun of by all my friends who went to basketball games and chased girls at the bar for being a theater kid.
I find
so
it funny
there's
that
there's no bro here.
I find it funny that the theater kids are like, you nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
Wanting to watch sports.
You
want
to go to a basketball game? What a loser.
As a musician, that is completely accurate.
Without a doubt.
Choir nerds act the same way.
Without a doubt. I was like, man, do we really got to have rehearsal tonight on Thursday before opening night? Because we usually always had Thursday off. But we'd have the Thursday home game of Wazoo basketball, and I could always go. But right before a show opened, we'd have, like, dress rehearsal on a Thursday. And I was because we'd opening nights on a Friday, and I just got hosed. I just had to go. And I was like, but James Harden's in town. Like,
do you even want to get laid, Patrick?
I was like, not by any of you.
Yeah, like, not in this crowd.
I'm
that's
trying
wrong.
To go to the bar after the game and chase tail there.
Wait, the hot chicks weren't in drama class?
No.
Maybe one, but they
were
always
a couple,
taken.
But they were smart.
Yeah, exactly.
They stayed away from Patrick. If you hang out with that guy, you're going to have to go to a basketball game. Oh, God, no. God, no. Please, no.
Washington State.
I know. We were, like, ranked 8th in the country at that point because R.I.P. my boy, Tony Bennett.
Yeah, what a classless move on his part. What an absolute douche.
I am not
two
going,
weeks before the season.
I am not going to engage in that. Tony Bennett is a hero and a god of mine. I have spoken to him multiple times face-to-face. I love Tony B. He is
that backstabbing
my boy.
Son of a bitch.
And maybe when he learns that we live in the Mountain West and nobody cares about basketball out here, maybe he comes back home.
Yeah.
We always find our way back home, is what we say at Wazoo.
Well, you'll get some marquee matchups for the next couple of years against Gonzaga, and then they're taking your place.
Yeah, true.
God. True. How'd that work out for you guys?
Yeah, I have no idea.
My God.
I have no idea. And that being said, I know there's a lot going on right now in baseball.
There's a lot going on in sports.
Yeah, but let's be real. We're going to pause the World Series chatter since it doesn't start till Friday. And today is literally
queued up
one thing and one thing only.
Basketball. Give me the ball, because I'm going to dunk it. Yeah.
Or shoot threes if you're the Boston Celtics tonight. Good Lord.
Can I guess on how many they shot tonight? I had not seen the box score.
You did not hear my update that I just gave? I don't have the answer.
I was taking a tinkle. So I was not, I was frantic. I was trying to squeeze it out and get back in here as quick as possible. I'm going to guess that they hucked up 47 three-pointers.
Did they huck up? I mean, like total, or did they
total
make?
They shot 47 total three-pointers.
Let's see.
Did you hear your own update?
Well, I had the amount that they made. Nobody cares about the total that they shot.
Okay, I'm gonna say they made 22.
29. They made 29 three-pointers.
I was at the bar, and I was like, hey, can you throw on the Knicks-Celtics game? Because they were watching hockey. It's a big hockey place where I was, where I usually venture before I come down here. And he was like, yeah, sure. And he threw it on, and I was like, you know, I actually am curious. It's opening night.
Can you put on the basketball, please?
It's opening night, so you get excited. You're kind of like, I love sports. I'm a junkie. It's that Thursday night game on NFL that's usually never good when the season opens, but you want to watch because football's back. And I put it on, and I was thinking to myself, okay, I want to watch Cat. I want to see Cat for a couple offensive series just to see how he's moving in that offense and what the idea for him is. And the first offensive possession, he sat at the bottom of the court, like that corner three spot. He sat there for the entire possession, did not move, with a defender on him looking for the ball. And I watched that, and then a guy shot it, and he just instantly went back to defense. And I said to the bartender, I was like, you can go back to hockey.
I will say, Karl Anthony Towns going to New York has created one of the better nicknames I have heard in a while now.
Ooh, hit me, because I do not follow.
Bodega Cat.
Yeah, where does that come from?
The fact that his name is Cat, and he's now in New York. And
in a bodega? So he's a boat, like...
Well, bodegas famously have cats to deal with the rat problem.
Yep. Greenwich Village, stuff like that.
So you go in a bodega.
Yeah, you have a little bodega. You got a fruit stand out front or something.
Oh, it's clicking.
And you got a cat to make sure the rats don't steal your ass.
I'm a West Coast boy. I know nothing about it.
I'm a West Coast boy, too, but I also grew up watching Spike Lee movies, so that helped.
Bodega Cat, though. And I was like, I love that.
Radio Raheem is a hero of mine.
Now, Karl Anthony Towns, I do not love that.
Do not love that.
No, but Bodega Cat, that is a fantastic nickname.
Minnesota Cat, I don't love that. Bodega Cat, I kind of like that.
Yeah. Oh, whoa, Dr. Seuss over there.
Just trying to be here.
I don't really care what fish, we call him, fish. As long as he actually plays, but it I don't know. He doesn't
Red
really
fish,
seem to care.
Fourth fish?
I'll say, though, I am locked in on this Lakers-Minnesota game. Oh, my God. Bronny got the start?
No.
I'm kidding.
Please stop. They brought the Griffey. Hey, speaking of baseball and basketball's connection, the last father-son combo ever on the field or pitch or court together, Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr., are sitting in Los Angeles courtside, I'm assuming, to watch the Bronny and Bronny Jr.
Are they
really? Baseball trying to hit the ball out of the park, and strikeouts don't matter. Baseball.
Good. I do have a hefty parlay, though, in this Lakers,
on these games tonight,
on this Lakers
just the Laker game tonight. You have a hefty betting parlay.
Hefty,
like Phil Mickelson hefty.
Oh yeah, in Joe Fisher terms, that is.
Oh man, I got a buddy, because you know Phil's nickname is Lefty. Old P9 Perry out there, not listening. He's in bed right now. He's an old man. He is a diehard golfer, And Phil has the nickname Lefty, and then Phil gained a bunch of weight there for a while, so he just calls him Hefty.
Hefty. Nah.
Even though now he's like clearly on like Ozempic and stress from insider trading laws that he's broken.
And possibly getting murdered by the Saudis.
By a bunch of Saudis, yeah, because he's bad at golf now.
No, I don't like weird cent totals in like any account that I have in any of my accounts in life, whether it is my bank account.
Oh,
my,
you want zeros?
Yes, I want zeros.
Yeah, yeah.
So I laid down a solid 24-cent parlay on the Lakers-Timberwolves game today. I was like, what the hell? Why not? Seven legs. Let's go. Let's win Papa a lunch, huh?
A nice sandwich from Baker's Mark.
Well, and quite honestly, 20
it's my
bucks.
Sandwich shop in town.
20 bucks. I mean, I will probably only get you a sandwich.
That's true.
In this economy.
You want a bag of chips? No. I only got 20 bucks, dude.
So, yeah.
You want a soda to go? No, God, no. I have 20, not 40.
So, yeah, Papa's going to win some new shoes tonight with a solid 24-cent bet on the old DK.
And you mean some Goodwill shoes.
Yeah. No, not even that, honestly.
Whew. Well, I'm glad
So what's the bet? What do you got?
I'm trying to get it pulled up. It's a bunch of player props. It's a bunch of this guy do this, this
and
guy don't do this.
He hasn't had a hit in ever.
In ever, well, Jerry.
That sounds like
in ever.
My betting record.
I was
going to say,
not a betting hit. That's
this is why I don't gamble.
Well, I had a good Saturday, then a terrible Sunday, and an even worse Monday. So, and then today just kind
of
sucked.
Oh, funny enough, one of the bars I go to frequently, they always do like a $5 pick'em.
Oh, yeah.
NFL. And I was there the other night, and I was there on Saturday, I believe, and I completely forgot to throw my $5 because I'm not the biggest NFL guy, but $5 and a pick'em, sure, that sounds like fun, and I'm in a pool with a bunch of people I know, but I forgot to do it. So I woke up Sunday morning, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a fake pick'em and just see how I do.
Oh, God.
Well, I took Houston and Minnesota, so I'm pretty sure I lost that
it's
one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, maybe on to next week then. But.
Yeah.
Well, who saw...
And they were both great games, so I was like, well, hey, maybe I'm just the prophet of great games.
Who saw CJ Stroud facing more pressure on third down than he ever has
in
all
his
season?
Life, yeah.
God!
Well, as someone who took the Lions money line...
Oh, baby.
I was
nice
definitely...
Nice move.
I was definitely clenching cheeks, though, for a little bit.
But because, you felt good at the end.
Well, yeah, because they had a game-winning field goal with, like, 15 seconds left. But the Lions definitely almost just barfed that game up.
Yep.
Like, they had the lead, and then, oh, Minnesota fumble recovery for a touchdown. I was like, you've got to be effing kidding me.
Dude, that moment, that what you're feeling there with the money on the line is how we feel watching all Wazoo games, no matter who you're playing. Hawaii, Boise State, doesn't matter. UW, doesn't matter. Oh, you got Iowa State in the Fiesta Bowl? Doesn't matter.
Now like, I understand why
we feel terrible.
The way that
because
you
do. Now I'm like, who's this quarterback at Iowa State? That guy's been there forever. I heard he's terrible. No, his name is Brock Purdy. He is not terrible.
Well, they're running back.
Gardner Minshew, he's a god. And it's like, no, he's not a god.
Well, that Iowa State running back must suck too. Nope, it's Breece Hall.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, what?
Betting, gambling on sports like you all do is like watching a Wazoo football game. That's why I don't gamble, because like I get it for free.
Yeah, I mean, you had a winning Sunday because you didn't gamble at all.
Yeah, see, that is true.
That is true. I did not lose the $5. And I also did not win the $65 that I could have. So I feel good.
Yeah, you broke even on the day.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have an actual baseball show for you tonight.
I hear it might be a little bit of an important one, too.
I hear it might be a little important one as well. I'll just tell you guys straight up, we're going to do kind of what we did last week, how we got here and what we're going, where we're going. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we will preview the World Series of the Yankees and the Dodgers for the first time since 1981. There's going to be five MVPs on the field when that game one starts. We'll get into every single thing that we can possibly think of leading up to the series. And when we come back next week, we'll be in game four, most likely on potentially on TV while we're on the air.
I believe so, yeah.
So that will be fun. So we'll be able to preview pitching matchups. Starters have been announced and all that kind of stuff.
Because it's going
to
go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, break.
No, it's going to go Friday, Saturday, break. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, break.
Gotcha.
Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, and game four is a 5:08 first pitch. So what, we'll be sitting in like the fifth or sixth when we come on?
I think they're all 5:08 first pitch Pacific time. I'm pretty sure they are all 5:00 first pitch.
Wow, so they don't care about the East Coast? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I looked at that and I cared because on Fridays and Saturdays, I work at 3 p.m. and 1 p.m. and get off late at night. Oh. So I was like, oh, God, damn. 1 and 2, I'm going to be at work for. But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So, but I'd like to start here. I'd like to start in the National League. How we got here. The Mets, the Dodgers, how it all played out. We'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
720 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge, that Schultzy over there on the ones and twos, if you are unfamiliar with the show. The Vancouver Ford text line, that bad boy will let you interact with us throughout the entire show. 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford than you should write before, during, after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. Got me one of those in the parking lot. Suk and I, that's our hometown dealer, and we love them. Monty over there will take care of you. Let's get into this.
They're not going to pay you, Patrick, no matter how hard you try, okay?
My 40,000 mile warranty is about to expire, so maybe they can
double that up.
Hook that up. You never know.
I do know, and that's no.
I have Monty's phone number, okay?
I am confident that will be a hard no from the sales department.
But kind of like I was teasing last segment, we'll spend this first hour kind of how we got here, and then we'll spend the second hour previewing the World Series in a sense of where we're going. And I want to start here as we come in with Sugar Diaz's entrance music, which is the best way to start here. Mets-Dodgers. Dodgers beat the Mets in four games to two. And, you know, I think what's interesting about this series is, and I'll just start right away, it never really felt like it never really felt like most of the games were competitive. And I think it kind of shows to the fact that something I've said multiple times, that the Mets, I don't understand why they're good. Yes, Frankie Lindor has been unbelievable for them. But how long are you going to rely on Jose Quintana's resurgence, Sean Manaea's career year, and Sugar Diaz being an elite closer, quote unquote, and it eventually came crumbling down. Now, they got moments where they were able to get up big early in games, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Dodgers really lacked starting pitching. So for this large matchup, it's no shock that the Dodgers prevail. They're just the better team. It's almost like a war of attrition. You know, you see the NFL and it's like you get to the playoffs and it's Chiefs, Bills, but like the Bills are missing a linebacker and a DB and their running backs out and Allen hasn't looked good. Plus he sat out last week because they knew they had the bye, et cetera. It kind of looked like that. I don't know if the Mets ever really had a chance in this series.
I believe it was a couple weeks ago where I was like, how long are the Mets going to be getting away with this?
Right.
And that's, so you bringing up the starting pitching, it was like, yeah. And then you give up in the final three games of the season, like a billion runs, and rightfully so. It definitely seemed like with this pitching staff, the way it was constructed, that it was only going to be able to last them for so long. And then you go up against a juggernaut of an offensive lineup like the Dodgers.
Just the first three guys smoke you.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's,
it doesn't even matter about 4-9.
And that's what I've been hanging my hat on with this Dodgers team for the last 3 months or so now. Like, even when they kind of went through some struggles in the regular season, I was like, that 1-3 of Otani, Freeman, and Betts.
There are four MVPs between those three, like, guys.
I'll bet
five?
On...
Is Otani got three? No, he's got two.
Yeah, he's got two.
Two.
I was just saying that I will bet on those guys just having that stacked of a 1-3 and ride that until the end of the season. I don't care what's happening in that four slot. Mind you that you also have Kike Hernandez that seemingly wants to play his best baseball in October every season.
Carlos Beltran 2.0.
You have Max Muncy, who seems to get on base every single at-bat now. And it's just like, because of course he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was just one of those where the rubber meets the road with this Mets team, and that your pitching staff is not nearly as good as it was to get you to this point. And when you have to play an offense that is this good, this is what happens.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said. Now, you know, I have knocked Dave Roberts on this program and honestly will continue. Yeah. And that'll be part of our conversation at the 8 o'clock hour when it comes to the World Series, which is funny because he's facing the other guy I hate. But that is something that I think Dave Roberts is actually really good at. He's really good at getting people like Tommy Edman and Kike Hernandez to come out of nowhere and be something. Because you look over at Carlos Mendoza for the Mets, and Frankie's playing out of his mind. Pete Alonso's been really good this postseason, mm-hmm. but also kind of disappeared. But that's your home run hitting first baseman. That's kind of what today's game is signed up for. Pete Alonso is better than Ty France. But Pete Alonso and Vladdy Jr. aren't that different of a player. And so Pete plays well. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, Vientos. Hey, Vientos, I think, is the best player on the Mets in this series. But it's every other guy. There's no other guy stepping up. Marte's struggling in the outfield. You know, behind the dish is a no man's land for them. And there's just no motivation for another player to step up in a big moment.
Can I point out really quickly that there's just no comparison as far as the 5-9 in the Dodgers lineup versus the Mets lineup. I mean, Tommy,
which is hilarious because we've been bashing the 5-9 on the Dodgers. At least I have all season.
Yeah, but the glaring difference in these teams comes out when, hey, if Otani's not hitting, okay, Betts is going to hit. Well, if Betts and Otani aren't hitting, oh, well, we got Freddie Freeman. If Freddie Freeman's out, guess what? Kike Hernandez can come in and hit a home run. Tommy Edman, I think he had like 20 RBIs all season. In just 10 postseason games, he's had 12 RBIs. Like, the dude is hitting way above his station at the right time. But I don't think the starting pitching difference is as big as you guys are talking about. The Mets have terrible multiple starting pitchers. Has been's or never was is essentially, and that's exactly what the Dodgers are leaning on, minus Yamamoto, although he hasn't really shown up in the playoffs. But what, Jack Flaherty and Walker Buehler are aces? Absolutely not. They both went 3 and 4 innings once in this series. The bullpen stepped up for the LA Dodgers, and frankly, they kind of showed the world, in my opinion, they don't necessarily need elite starting pitching to get to a World Series.
But I would argue, though, that Walker Buehler had a bad outing. Jack Flaherty had a bad outing. And then they both had
great
outings. Cy
great
Young outing, yeah. ace outings. And Walker, to the Walker Buehler point, he has struggled, but clearly his journey back from his second Tommy John has not been easy on him. But that game he threw, was that game 4?
Yes.
That he threw was unbelievably filthy in New York. I watched that and I sat there like pitching ninja, like John Boy, like whatever it is, fascinated about every ball he was throwing because he was locked in. And when you have Manaea and Quintana, who are your guys, and I would even say the Robertson kid, like those are your best options. Never once in this series do I think that they looked locked in. And as much as I've bashed on this Dodger bullpen, they came to play.
Well, and I want to bring it back to...
And the Mets didn't.
Tommy Edmund, but it has to do with pitching also, is that Tommy Edmund was a trade deadline move. And I remember when that happened, I was like, dude, if Edmund is able to get healthy, he could be dangerous for this team. Because when he was healthy for the Cardinals, I had him on fantasy a couple of years ago. Dude is an on-base machine, and he's a base snatcher, too. He is fast.
Plays solid defense in center.
And he played second for the Cardinals. So, mm-hmm. like, being able to move him around and, play out is kind of like Mookie in the regard. Like, can you play center first? Can you play shortstop for it? Yeah, for sure. Put me wherever, and I'll be effective for you. And another part in that Tommy Edmund trade was Michael Kopech. Mm-hmm. And that is another piece of the bullpen that has come to fruition in your in this playoff run. I mean, granted, he had a little bit of a outing in the Mets series, 2 innings there, did give up a run in one of the games, but he was clutch in the San Diego series as well. Like, that trade has paid its dividends for him. And then I was stoked to see Tommy Edmund have a great series because he was awesome in St. Louis and being on this stage. I mean, that has been a huge pickup for them, obviously.
I think at the end of the day, I said this earlier, I think at the end of the day, and we'll get out on this, is that this series was just a war of attrition. Like, the Dodgers have better players in every facet compared to the Mets, and that eventually took over. And in my opinion, that's very different than what we saw in the ALCS. And we'll get to that next, but the Dodgers eventually got to a point where it's like, okay, game 3, all right, we're getting routed. Or game 2, we're getting routed. Okay, let it go. Put this aside. We'll go back tomorrow. We're throwing Flaherty. We're throwing Buehler. We're throwing Yacht, whatever it is. We feel good. Let's just get rid of this and go back to tomorrow, which made for the series to not be a very fun series, even though it went 6 games, because I think it was just obvious the Dodgers were a better team.
Yep. And we'll get into the World Series preview, man, but you know where I'm at with this team and who, how I feel this matchup for the World Series.
I think I sit right there with you. So that's coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, let's switch over to the American League Championship Series, where the Yankees defeat Cleveland in 5 games, a gentleman's sweep. But boy, there was a lot of drama, a lot of hysterics going on in that, and some really cool things. And I am willing to sit here and tell you truths about both teams. We'll do that next, but first, Schultzy with sports.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod. The home run stroke. Now, what did I do wrong?
Coming up in the second hour of the show, we will dive into the World Series preview, so you won't want to miss that, all 5 of you out there. There is the fan text line, the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6FAN, if you want to check in with us and say what's up. But we're kind of talking about how we got here, and we'll switch over to the American League Championship Series. And I'll tell you what, for a general, and I'm full disclosure, Cleveland Guardians fan right here.
Well, are you? Are you?
Very much so.
Yeah?
Very much so.
All right.
I'm going to speak about this series as impartial as possible. And I think I've been thinking about it in my head ever since we lost, and I've got decent stuff to say. I will tell you what, though. On a whole, for a gentleman sweep, this is about the most exciting gentleman sweep you're ever going to see.
In a sense, yeah.
Games 3, 4, and 5 were down to the wire every single day.
It's true. It's true.
And 3 is one of the best baseball games. Isaac Rop texted me the other day and said, that's one of the best games I've ever seen. Or I've seen in a long time. And I'd agree. It was crazy, you know. You hit a 2-run bomb to tie it in the 9th, and then you hit a bomb to win it in extra innings. Well, like, that's amazing.
I mean, even what gave New York the lead was the back-to-back home runs.
Right.
Correct? That was Judge Giancarlo going back-to-back in the 8th inning to give them the lead. And then...
because Cleveland was up 3-1, and then they each hit solo shots to make it 3-3. Wait, no.
I'm going back. I'll find it for you.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, this series was wildly entertaining. And it was wildly entertaining. It's a little David versus Goliath kind of atmosphere. Look, we're talking about the Dodgers and their 1-2-3 and worrying about everybody else. There, everybody else stepped up. There ain't a whole lot outside of Gleyber Torres that isn't a stud on the Yankees that did anything in this series. Austin Wells, garbage. Volpe, garbage. Rizzo, a disaster. Cabrera, when he came in for Rizzo, a disaster. Birdie, Jazz Chisholm, base running mistakes everywhere. The Yankees looked really bad, in my opinion. And that's why I think, Joe, you and I are on the same page when we preview the World Series. What's fascinating to me about this series is Cleveland was so bad in Game 1 and Game 2. Making mistakes that Cleveland doesn't make.
Oh, yeah. You had to be walked off the cliff last Tuesday when we were in the studio. And I'm like, bud, just let it go back to Cleveland and we'll see what happens. You were down bad.
And I'm sitting there the whole time going, Terry Francona doesn't manage a team like this. What the hell is going on?
We'll find out next year.
That is true. and Stephen Vogt looked like the playoffs were too big for him. What I kept saying while I was watching the games... you know, Game 1, I was sitting with my wife, and I'm looking at her, and I was like, our guys look like they walked into Yankee Stadium, saw the outfield, looked at pinstripes, and just threw up all over themselves. And
threw up and pooped themselves.
You know, Rocchio looks bad. Bad defensive plays. Just guys not playing well. And they got back to Cleveland and they kind of settled down, had that big win in 3, and that momentum shifted. But I think kind of similar to the Dodgers Mets series, the Sotos, Judge, and Stantons of the world outplayed you.
You
got caught.
And how that game went down was Judge and Stanton hit the home runs to go up 4-3. They got a sack fly in the 9th to go up 5-3, and then Big Christmas came up. Great nickname right there.
John Kenzie Noel.
Feliz Navidad, bitches.
He's not a good player.
No, no, at all. But he was then.
He was then.
Baseball's wacky.
And he's not paying for anything in Cleveland for a while.
And dear God, in Game 4, when he came up, was that Game 4 when he came up late in the game and you thought he did it again?
Everybody did. I was working at the time. I was wearing my hat. We had it on a bunch of TVs. And there were a bunch of people that were like, dude, we're on your team. We're rooting for you. You know, you work at a bar that has sports everywhere, and you happen to be the guy wandering around with the team that is playing the juggernaut. They rally around you. So everyone in the pub was rallying around me like, go Cleveland. Noel hits that ball, and everybody's like, yeah, he did it again. And then somebody goes, dude, it got caught. I was like, ah, crap.
Well, dude, on the...
also, I hate Alex Verdugo.
On the broadcast, man, Brian Anderson was going, it was like, holy S. He
like
did
the
it
wind
again.
Killed it or something.
Oh, my God. I'm like, no way. This just happened. And then the ball just drops and goes into Verdugo's glove, and you're like, oh my. Like... It was an orgasmic experience. Just I've never felt that way about a pop out before.
And I think what's interesting is I think Judge had a really good series at the plate. The stats might not say it, The stats might not say
overall. Better than what he's used to.
Yeah, the stats might not say it overall, but I think some of his late at-bats, whether he hit a home run or didn't hit a home run, he looked really locked in. And Stanton, I can't, you know, again, we'll preview the World Series here at the top of the hour, but Stanton can't continue like this because he looks insanely locked in. But what I will say, the reason the Yankees are in the World Series right now, unequivocally,
is because of Giancarlo Stanton.
I actually think the answer is Juan Soto.
Yeah.
In game five, I thought Cleveland had that game. I thought Cleveland was at the spot. Class A came in, got through some guys. He got through Soto, Judge, Stanton, Chisholm. Like, he got through guys, and there was no problem. And it was finally like, okay, Class A is not going to S the bet again. And he's got it through. And now Hunter Gaddis, the second best reliever, is coming in. And he struggled a little bit. But it's that at-bat with Juan Soto in game five, in the 10th. It's like an 11-pitch, 12-pitch at-bat. Gaddis has him beat every single time. Soto keeps fouling off. He stayed patient. And then finally Gaddis threw him a meat, and Soto took him deep. And that's why the Yankees are in the World Series. I think it's Juan Soto. I do.
And Giancarlo, unreal series. But, yeah, I mean, this team is not where it's at if it is not for Juan Soto.
Yeah.
I mean, he has just been – and that – him at the plate, he is one of my favorites because of he is just being an on-base machine. He is a tough at-bat.
He's got some flair, too.
Yes, and he just, like, his little waggle that he does. I mean, there's, like, I shouldn't like him as much as I do.
We should hate him. He should be yes. The cocky and arrogant guy that I always bitch about.
But he is so good. Like, for a while, this is to do the whole sports comparison thing. Is this is how I felt about Kyrie and still kind of do for a while. It's like, dude, that guy on court is nasty.
Nasty.
Like, don't talk to me about who he is off the court because I don't want to, because just watch him with his handle. I'm like, damn, dude.
And I love Kyrie. He's one of my favorite players on the court to watch.
Yeah. So, I mean, like Soto, again, it's like, I shouldn't like you as much as I do because you kind of seem like a douche. But him at the plate, he is one of the best in the league. And yeah, that at bat, I mean, just, I mean, absolute dagger in the hearts to Guardian fans and the fan base. I mean, like, you're right. Those last three games were just, I mean, they really could have gone either way. And
they went one way.
And it's, quite frankly, it's they had the star power to pull it out for them in the end in those final two games. I mean, the Friday game, too. I mean, that was just, God, man. I mean, just insane. I mean, you have a couple errors that if they don't happen, then that game's finished earlier. And then
Rocchio is taking the brunt of everything in Cleveland right now.
Yeah.
There is no reason the Yankees shouldn't be ready to write Juan Soto a check for $1 billion.
Yeah, and we'll get to that, too. But what I think is interesting is that this series was a gentleman's sweep, but the gap between Cleveland and New York is way closer than the gap between the Mets and the Dodgers, correct?
Yes.
I'd say so.
Cleveland, yep. If Cleveland doesn't vomit all over themselves for the first two games, who knows where that series goes?
Let's point out that half the Yankees infield was on the Miami Marlins to start the season, right? Yeah. So it's not like the Yankees are perfection here. They're not.
Yeah. Go John Birdie.
Exactly. Birdie's like batting, what, .170 in the playoffs so far?
He's a base snatcher.
Yeah, but he's got errors at first.
Why isn't Anthony Rizzo getting more at bats than Birdie?
Because he owed.
So?
Because he owed.
If I this is just maybe MLB the Show thought, but I'm thinking that Rizzo's chance at you know, hitting the ball over the fence or a little bit of pop in that bat, just that at the plate is something I'd rather have than Birdie. I don't know.
At the end of the game four, like, Birdie bobbled that ground ball and, like, dropped it. You're like, oh, damn,
that's what
it.
He was in yeah. for.
Yeah. You're like, that was a really fun series, despite, like you said, despite it being a gentleman's sweep, that was a more entertaining gentleman's sweep that I've seen.
All right, before we get into World Series preview at 8 o'clock, I'd like to take a peek at both of these teams that lost, the Mets and the Guardians, and kind of see which fan base is more excited to see next season. And I think it might be a little tricky, but we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, Tennessee the Fan.
Down goes Anderson! Down goes Anderson! Anderson!
By the way, if you haven't heard Tom Hamilton's calls on John Kenzie, Noel, and David Fry's home runs, then you just clearly don't love baseball.
Well, I guess I don't love baseball.
Tom Hamilton is the greatest announcer in the history of baseball. Yeah, I hear you, Vin Scully. Yeah, I hear you.
The home run Stroka.
did you hear John Sterling on the base running from the Yankees? I forget if it was game two or game three.
Yeah, they run like drunks.
Yeah, I That's was fantastic. Like, dude, Sterling, you still got it, you old bastard.
I was like, you know what? I have played softball, like beer league softball, and I'm pretty sure we run the bases better than the Yankees. And we are, in fact, drunk.
And you, in fact, could probably go to the World Series.
Well, it's a bunch of aging, injured sluggers, right? That's pretty much all the Yankees are.
I love that nobody has a problem with the fact that if a ground ball is hit, I am running faster down the first baseline than Giancarlo Stanton is.
Well, as long as nobody cares, then $50 million is not wasted, right?
But I'd like to have a conversation real quick as we wrap up the LCS. You're sitting here going into next year, and it sucks because your team just lost, and you're kind of down and out, and you're mad because it's a Yankee-Dodger World Series, and it could have been you. Which fan base do you think sits there and is more okay with the loss, and which fan base do you think looks ahead to next season and feels okay?
Out of the Yankees and Dodgers?
No, out of the Guardians and Mets.
I was going to say, neither feels okay about losing the World Series.
Out of the teams that are out, out of the teams that went home, like, if you're there as a Guardians fan, like, I am one, but I also try to talk non-biasedly, game one and two is a disaster for you. 3, 4, and 5, like, you're in it. You're playing your game. Your bullpen's okay, etc. You got to their bullpen, who's looked nasty. The Mets, you had two games against the Dodgers where this game was over in the fourth. Which fan base do you think looks more appealing for the next season? Like what you've built. You've got to an LCS, and in theory you want to build upon that and make your team better.
I would say that the Mets would have to feel a little bit better. I don't know. I go back and forth. I feel like the Mets have to feel better, and that they're just a few arms away, whereas the Guardians feel like they're a few arms away and a few bats away.
Mm. That the hill's a little steeper for them.
But then again, it's also like the Guardians are able to get by just playing good, smart baseball as well. So it's like we can kind of make up for those gaps by playing a style of baseball that nobody really does. But their starting pitching needs to be better next season. Mm-hmm. And whereas the Mets got away with it this year, I don't think they can get away with that pitching staff 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think I would rather be a Mets fan than a Guardians fan. Oh, checking in.
Oh, dear God.
Both checking in at the same time.
No. Is it happening?
Yep. And I love that LeBron's acting like, you know, hey, you go over there. Hey, you go over there. I will pass the ball in. He's going to pass the ball into his kid.
I want to see Bronny just go off for 15 straight.
LeBron just got the ball to himself and chucked a three from deep for no reason.
I know nobody cares, but I hate this. It's a manufactured moment that we're watching.
I love it.
Right the hell out.
I'm a family man.
I think I would rather be a Mets fan than a Guardians fan in this position. However, there are two big things that are glaring at me if I'm a Mets fan. How much does Pete Alonso cost? Yeah. And am I going to regret this deal?
Better question is, how much does Juan Soto cost? And you will not regret it.
Yeah, now, that's the positive.
Yeah.
Is that you are going to go, Cohen's going to go get free agents.
And my guess is you're probably the favorite to land him.
Do you sign an Albert Pujols? Or do you sign a Shohei Ohtani? You see what I mean? Like, are you getting a guy that, are you going to throw a bunch of money at a Pete Alonso and get something out of him? Or is he going to flame out? Or are you going to sign a Juan Soto and get the Shohei Ohtani that changes your world?
Or are you going to sign both? I mean, to answer your initial question, I guess as a Mets fan, I would feel so much better just because I have Cohen as my owner, right? And he's willing to go do that. I just don't think the Guardians have those kind of unlimited funds that Steve Cohen's willing to spend for New York. That being said, how much is Pete Alonso going to cost? You really think it's going to be more than a couple hundred million? Like, we saw so many aging hitters not get those contracts, the pitchers that had to wait into spring training to get their contracts, basically just settling for a one-year deal that Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery did. I'm not saying that no one's going to pay Alonso, but I don't think the market's going to be like reaching towards $400-500 million for Alonso.
No. Yeah. I think Pete's going to look at a 30 mil a year deal.
Well, and you got, just looking at Jeff Pass and what he wrote earlier today, or yesterday rather, the Mets have somewhere in the range of $190 million in salaries coming off the books this winter.
Ooh.
But with those difficult decisions to make, I mean, it seems like one of those is more so difficult, and that's Alonso. But potentially gone as well as Jose Iglesias, J.D. Martinez, Jesse Winker, Bader, which...
I don't know if any of those guys are really that important to them.
I would say that the only reason I somewhat like Jose Iglesias is because he is a great fielder.
Incredible defender.
As much as I hate him, I think Winker had a big regular season moment and then an even bigger postseason.
Winker had a good postseason for them, but he's a liability in the outfield, so he's your DH.
And then Shamanea can opt out of his deal that he signed.
And he will because he's going to think he's worth more.
Exactly.
So that's what concerns me is that, you know, and coming across on the Vancouver Ford text line, Rufio and Dio both are kind of basically saying, you know, Rufio, as a Mets fan, I can assure you that Guardians fans are more excited about next year. Dio saying Mets are one off season from blanking up their team because they will spend money on blank.
Which he is totally justified in saying that because that's basically what they've done seemingly since Cohen has hired the team. The Lindor thing is sort of now just paying dividends for them.
Looked real bad in the beginning.
It did.
I sat here on this show and said, oof, bullet dodged. Glad we didn't re-sign him. But now he looks great. I mean, John Mayer is talking about how Frankie Lindor is an inspiration to him right now.
But $100 million to Cohen is... you know, much different than $100 million to like John Fisher of the Oakland A's, right? Like, it's not as big of a miss.
But it's about who you're giving it to.
But literally, he has the money to go out a year later and give it out again. He got Scherzer and Verlander right off the books and, right back out to go back into the free agency pool. I don't think that there's a limit to Cohen's coffers here.
I don't know if building that way works. We saw the Yankees do that and struggled a lot with it. And that's when their first World Series in 15 years.
It's fair.
Well, this is something that I'm looking in this passing article and that I was not aware of, is that David Stearns, president of baseball operations, he was a part of the Brewers organization when they drafted one Corbin Burnes. So, I mean, there's an arm that has been talked about. I hate to read it because Corbin had a great year for my Orioles. But, I mean, those things play a factor.
Mm-hmm. There's a new southpaw from Japan who's about to get posted. That could be really great. Not to mention Kodai Senga could be healthy coming in next year.
Blake Snell and Max Fried are free agents. Correct. Like, again, there is no...
You don't think the Mets would love to sign Max Fried and take him away from the Braves?
There is no salary cap, and if there's one team in today's day and age that has showed that they do not care about spending, it's not the New York Yankees, it's the New York Mets.
I mean, I'm begging for one of these teams, either the Guardians or the Mets, to pry one of the five or six starting pitchers from the Seattle Mariners for a great hitter. They need a pitcher. The Mariners need a hitter. Both of these two would be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, the only hitter on the Mets I want is Frankie Lindor.
At this point, I would probably take, Vierling? Not Vierling.
Vientos?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, sorry, I was confusing him with the kid from Detroit.
See, and this is, to me, Manea, Severino, and Quintana combined for 37% of New York's innings this season. That is not going to win you a World Series.
Not at all. Not at all. Has-beens, have-nots, et cetera, et cetera. All right, coming up, second hour. Buckle up, my friends. We're going to preview the first Yankee-Dodger World Series since 1981. How's this bad boy play out? We'll make our picks, all that kind of fun, and talk about everything from bullpen to starters to Soto and Judge versus Betts and Ohtani. And who could be the secret X factor, as everybody loves to say that. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. 10 of the fans. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.